Hi everyone, this is Divya Sharma, host of the Articulate podcast, and today I'm in conversation with Emmanuel Boateng, who is not only my guest for this episode, but also a collaborator for our next show, coming up at the Stephen Lawrence Gallery. The show is titled Fragments, Folds and Frays, and it is on from the 5th of October for a whole month until the 2nd of November 2023. The exhibition explores the intersections of race and cultural identity through the practices of three contemporary artists, including myself. I am Indian born, and Emmanuel and Patrick Tego Turkson from Ghana. Following a collaborative model, we share this platform in questioning the much used phrase, the post-colonial. We work with textiles in three different ways, asking the viewer to engage with questions about space, place, sense of belonging, and racial hierarchies in contemporary art practice. Through this exhibition, we are mobilizing our practices and questioning what it means to be Black, brown, and underprivileged in British society, thus highlighting the experiences of marginalized communities and breaking the chains of invisibility. The term textiles in its broadest sense refers to everything from needle-based techniques like applique to mass-produced clothing, while maintaining important distinctions between what is considered craft and what is considered as part of the art canon. In recent decades, textiles have produced a unique challenge to these divisions as more self-trained crafters are absorbed into the art market. For example, the African-American quilters of the rural Alabama hamlet G's Bend, they are a great example of how they expose some of the fault lines of fine art and non-fine art relationships, bringing to the fore questions about race, cultural appropriation, valuation, and class disparity. Textile politics are frequently double-edged, used first by the suffragettes and then by the first wave feminist artists to push back against stereotypes about textiles being a feminine practice. But in places like Ghana, for example, textile techniques like weaving are not only associated with women. In fact, certain looms are operated exclusively by men. So these are the kind of dichotomies that, you know, it's interesting to talk about, and we will talk about in our session today. Textile making is often represented iconically as a stand-in both for tradition and for defiance against the reigning order. A widely reproduced example is the photograph of Mahatma Gandhi sitting next to his spinning wheel, a picture that evokes the meditational qualities of spinning as a form of spiritual ennobling labor. So textiles brings together corporeality, materiality, community building, history making, race, class, and gender, and it is laden with meaning in every corner of the globe. So this show, we will use our textile practices to question, ascribe value, and try to understand where we stand in this hierarchy of social order, whether it's in the art canon or in the society in general. By placing our works together, we want to show the contrast between materiality, scale of the works, and also the work's individual auras acting as a kaleidoscope of ideas and visuals. So that is the introduction. That said, I wanted to welcome Emmanuel. Hi, Emmanuel. I know we've had like many discussions because of the show before and because of our collaboration. But for the sake of the listeners, I wanted to first of all welcome you to the podcast, and also wanted you to like basically talk about yourself and how kind of you your journey in the in through your practice, and also a bit about how, you know, our collaboration came about.
Thank you very much, Divya. Brilliant. I'm really happy to be part of this podcast. I've always, really admired the fact that, we live in a really post-colonial society in the UK, and we our post-colonial identities, it kind of informs at least my practice, you know. So I'll just describe myself as a post-colonial hybrid and also an artist who's I explore space as well. So the element of my work is fabric, and fabric is really much strong within my practice. And the materials that I use kind of help me situate and engage with the discussions that we kind of mentioned, place, non-place, displacement, post-coloniality, and other aspects of race. Okay, so I did my degree in Southampton Southern University.
Right.
First degree was in fine arts, and then later did my MA at Winchester School of Art, where I was also majoring in fine art. And my major was basically hybridity. I started studying hybridity as my main sort of theme. I'm currently exploring my PhD is really focused on trying to use textiles in terms of Ghanaian kente fabric, which is really part of my own cultural background. So we'll talk about that a bit more. So I'm using kente to explore how art spaces can be, dismantled and can be decolonized or decontextualized in terms of gaining visibility for artists of color, such as myself.
Right.
So without us in a nutshell, that's what I really am all about.
Amazing. So you're saying that you introduced kente through your PhD, or was it also part of your practice before your PhD, or did you do other things?
At the very beginning of my PhD is where I introduced kente into my practice.
Right.
Before that, I was predominantly exploring painting. So I was exploring painting as a hybrid, hybrid medium. So painting and other objects into my art. So it was basically exploring hybridity of paint in a way in which you can juxtapose paint with other mediums. So I was exploring with, different mediums such as objects and found materials. And then I actually moved into using kente or exploring with kente as trying to really situate my practice as part of my own cultural background. So that came into when I actually decided to embark on this research journey of exploring art spaces around Southampton and also around the UK.
Amazing, amazing. So, yeah, that's amazing. So let me say a bit about myself before we go into how we kind of decided to collaborate with each other, for the show and stuff like that. So I'm from India, as my listeners know, my practice basically, I talk about themes about that resonate with me, about post-coloniality, about status of women, status of marginalized communities. So having lived in Germany for 5 years and then before moving to the UK, I understand what it is to be an immigrant and, the challenges of kind of, like you said, I was also grappling with the idea of hybridity. So there are lots of like crossovers in terms of ideas and experiences, which I think is quite remarkable. And I did my BA in painting from the Wimbledon College of Art and then did an MA in sculpture from the Royal College of Art. So when I did my painting in the first year itself, I realized that I was quite kind of I was quite like fearless and more experimental with working with 3D rather than with painting. So from the second year itself, I started working with objects and expanding my space. And I was the only person in my course who was taking on a lot of space rather than just a wall. Everybody was staring into a blank canvas, white canvas. And I was like working with plaster and wood, and which is why I decided to do an MA in sculpture. But unfortunately, it so happened that the middle of the course, pandemic struck, and my practice, which was mainly consisting of welding and working with wood and metal, had to kind of move onto the kitchen table. And it so happened, everything converged. I feel it was a turning point in my career, in my art practice. Because at that time, I decided to kind of put some time into myself and understand my own heritage and culture. My mother tongue is Tamil, but because of the kind of, colonization and, the fact that I was so anglicized living in my own country, I was more, comfortable speaking in English, understanding English literature. I was always looking ahead rather than looking back at my own language and the, you know, what it had to offer. And I thought this was a good time to kind of slow down and understand really more for my own understanding where I come from, which is why I decided to learn Tamil from one of the Sri Lankan tutors. We share the same kind of language, Sri Lankan. We have a huge Sri Lankan diaspora in London. And that's when I felt this kind of connection, and it moved me to tears, and I never expected this kind of reaction from. It was a really a very like uncharacteristic reaction from my side, because I've learned German from scratch and I never felt this way. So that kind of the fact that I was learning, and I wanted to talk about my roots and this feeling that I had, I wanted to hold on to it and use it in my practice. And the fact that I started working with textiles, which itself has, you know, it comes with its own kind of signifiers. It talks about memory. It is it is naturally kind of inclined towards nostalgia, softness. So it was a kind of merging of materiality and concept, which is really I think a blessing in disguise. I know the pandemic was awful, but then in terms of how like sometimes a limited palette can really change the ideas in your head, and that's what happened with me, and that kind of spurred me on with working with threads and tufting and the fact that I wanted to talk about being, I was, like I said, I was completely a hybrid person, talking about cosmopolitanism, how different influences kind of shaped me as a person. But having learned Tamil and being part of this diaspora, I suddenly realized that what it felt to be really part of a focused community, like being belong to one community, belong to a culture which is so ancient. And I felt really proud. And so I kind of went backwards and started talking about being part of a diaspora. I wanted to kind of show my the history and culture and heritage through my through my work.
I think it's just really interesting to hear how you talk about your background and how your work has evolved. Because saying that, if I may take you back to how we decided to start this collaborative endeavor. Collaborative. I think we need. It takes me back to your show, your group show at New Contemporaries in 2023.
I know.
And where I sort of encountered your one of your pieces that was on at the exhibition, and you know that sort of encapsulates this whole sense of diaspora within your work, which I really connected with. And I've been, me being a diaspora artist, I think I kind of felt that sense of connection to the materials that you were using.
It was amazing, also your process. I know, Emmanuel, how it
is. Interacting the work.
So, and I remember how we had that initial messaging, and then we kind of connected on Zoom, and it was instant. The fact that there were so many things that were in common, the fact that, you know, post-colonial thinking, and the fact that we are kind of fighting against this, you know, the being part, you know, being outsiders in this art world, and trying to be recognized, and working with fabric and threads. And so I really, it doesn't happen so often that, you know, you meet someone who you can connect on this conceptual level.
But it really struck a chord in me when I encountered that exhibition and also your work, and that sort of gave me that sense of how we could collaborate further, which we sort of decided to, you know, to move on with it till this day, because I feel like both our works embody this cultural identity, but also more importantly, the idea of the post-colonial identities or communities in British society or in Britain, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how our work sort of, you know, sort of, that's kind of direction our works, our art is taking, which is great, because of the collaboration as well. So moving on from there, would you like to say a bit more about Stephen Lawrence Gallery? I mean, or would you like me to talk about that? I mean, my point of view, I think the reason why we decided to go for, those of you who don't know, the show is our exhibition that coming exhibition is going to be at the Stephen Lawrence Gallery.
Yeah.
And the reason why we actually were interested in Stephen Lawrence Gallery as collaborative is because, you know, the gallery is a beacon of, also a space for retribution. It's also a space, of course, it's an art institution, but it also represents the history of Stephen Lawrence himself.
Yeah.
And the history of racial inequity in this country as well. And so we wanted to share our experiences and bring to the audience this sense of how our work reflects and asks questions in relation to, you know, marginalization and, you know, ethnic minority communities and the sort of struggles we face on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
For me, I
actually, before, I have kind of co-founded a collective, a South Asian collective called the Noilingi Collective. And we've had 3 shows already. But, you know, for the past like 5 years or so, we've been thinking of applying to the Stephen Lawrence Gallery. It's been like iconic for us. And it was always like a dream for me, at least, to kind of be represented in that gallery. And so when we kind of started talking about collaboration, because we already had work that was available to be seen, we kind of put together a quick proposal, isn't it? And then sent it off. We sent it off as a proposal to David, who's the head curator of the Stephen Lawrence Gallery. And within, I think, a few hours of my sending, he asked to kind of meet with us. And he was, David has been so kind of gracious, and absolutely, he was so encouraging and so really generous with his time and his, and showed us around, gave us a choice of, you know, choosing between this gallery or the one, you know, next door. And so very, very quickly, I think within a few days, we had confirmation about that he had space in October. And so for me, it's been like a dream come true to work in this amazing gallery. And it's part of the University of Greenwich. And and they basically showcase works or work of artists from diverse backgrounds, as we know, particularly of those who explore themes of identity, race, socialist issues, and marginalized perspectives. So by highlighting these narratives, the gallery creates a space for critical dialogue and reflection, which is exactly what we wanted to do through our show. So it kind of really, again, there was a good convergence of ideas and concepts, and I think at the right time and the right place. So I think really looking forward to the show. So in terms of what to expect in the show, Emmanuel, do you want to talk about a little bit about your work and also about Patrick? Unfortunately, Patrick, he's based in Ghana, but his work is really interesting also. And we were very keen that he should be part of our show. He's a busy artist. He kind of has shows all over the world, in fact, apart from the country. And he very generously agreed.
Thank you very much, Deep. Well, for anyone who's going to attend the show, I mean, this exhibition, you really can't afford to miss it, because I think you're going to see works that are sort of on display, that are sort of asking questions about the issue of race in this country. And also the textiles that I use in my work, they actually represent, you know, my own cultural identity and background. And they are very intricate fabrics that have a very strong, you know, connection to me, because obviously I grew up, you know, in Ghana, and I've lived in Ghana, and my family and my background are from Ghana. And we have this deep sense of cultural connection to this fabric through spirituality, through moral values, or through, you know, heritage. And also the fabric Kente is also related to a whole cultural diaspora apart from Ghana, all around the world. You know, it's a diasporic fabric, which is really everybody from, you know, any African or anybody belonging to the diaspora can connect to it. It has a strong set of connection. So you'll be seeing works that are being explored through, you know, many ways, fraying fabrics, kente being frayed, kente being, you know, decontextualized within almost traditional sense and really used as installations, being used as sculptures, being used within paintings as well, and also being juxtaposed within the space. So the works are asking questions within the space, and how does the work relate to the space, the gallery space, when I say space, and how the vice versa, the conversations are between the work, the space, and the audience. So the audience will get a chance to explore the work and ask questions about how these fabrics came to be in this space. Okay. What is the stories that associated with these fabrics? What are the memories of, because I collect fabrics, the fabric that I collect are actually from Ghana, and they're used fabric from, you know, previous owners. So they have this deep sense of place and non-place, and this sense of memory within the fabric because of their history and of ownership as well. And you should also be looking out to see Patrick Tego Texan's work. Tego Texan's works are really much exploring the idea of place, an idea of belonging, and also the idea of waste. I mean, he uses this flip-flops from the beaches of Ghana, and he collects them and really transforms them into layers of weaving installations, which actually start to ask questions about how we treat waste and how we display waste and how we, you know, how we engage with waste in this world. So his works are really also much about the story of the journey of displacement and place. So traveling all the way from Ghana, the works are living and going to be breathing in Stephen Lawrence Gallery for a month. Mm-hmm. And we all will be really, really captivated by the sense of place and how these works actually tell this story of a journey from Ghana to the UK, and how Patrick incorporates his own personal collective as the story of who he is into these works as well. So yeah, there's quite a lot to see. And obviously Divya, not to mention her works having this really, really strong sense of place and belonging as well. And this idea of how fabric can be used to decolonize space.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
Back to that, the idea of the post-colonial, and I think I don't know if I could move into that or...
Yeah, I say a little bit about what to expect from my works. So for me, basically, it's a pushback to the colonial gaze. Like I said, I work with tufting, and I do these large scale tufting tapestries on hemp, and they, although you use materials, it's a contrast to what you do in terms of the fact that you use materials which are already have a kind of signifier and story of their own.
Yeah.
You said that people have lent you these amazing kente fragments and pieces, whereas for me, because I feel that I'm so deracinated, I'm so like more, I have moved away all my life from my own culture, I don't have anything, although I can go back and learn more about Tamil culture and embroidery, and there's so much to do, that I feel that it's too late for me. I'd rather make my own kind of version of what I think I am at the moment. So my tapestries reflect me as a hybrid of different things, so I'm making my own new kind of reimagining a world building of an entire imaginary universe through my tapestries. And in a sense, I feel like migrants do kind of memory work. They it's like, you know, for them, it's not only just remembering the past, but also trying to belong and belong in terms of trying to touch the future with their labor. So I feel that my labor and the kind of rebellion that I put into the labor is my way of kind of making a mark on this land, of putting a flag post into this land and saying I belong here, and this, the future also is something that, you know, I'm kind of creating a history for myself and my family and my community. So it's like you know, trying to kind of not only create a map with my tapestries, but also it talks about my interior, you know, my mind space and what I'm going through.
That's some fantastic stuff. Yeah, so it's really good stuff. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that, and I think the underlying common thread within the exhibition and all the three of us and the work that we're producing and the works we're showing is the acknowledgement of our colonial past.
Yeah.
And you know, the colonial past is not just about us, but it's about the diaspora. It's about ethnic minority communities, and also it's about global history. And even though imperial empire is no longer exist today, in this way, they did exist 100 and 150 years ago. And narratives of colonialism are still present in today in so many forms and so many shapes. So we are trying to bring this sort of discussion into the exhibition space for people to sort of reflect and think about this reality and this history, you know.
And how it influences people. And I think
diaspora artists, it's our responsibility to do so, absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel as a part of the diaspora myself, I feel it's important to say that we need to see diaspora within the context of empire, like exactly what you said. We never see the links between empire and diaspora, because through colonization, extraction, plantation, and slavery, empires, these are the instigators of diasporas, isn't it? And many of today's diasporas are an outcome of historical relationships arising out of subordination and colonization. But the same diasporas, which are the result of that, they are this new, they challenge like Eurocentric understanding of ideas. They're the sources of new ideas and concepts through their struggle conceptually. They expand for everybody, not only for amongst ourselves, for other people. They expand the idea.
And I think this is really important to understand why these discussions are so important and relevant today.
They're like
post-colonial thinking is really relevant. It's so relevant today. And you know, I look at the words of Homi Bhabha, a great post-colonial theorist, and how he talks about post-colonial thinking serving as reflection and also reminding us, it's not just reminds us, but it allows us to think about the legacies of colonialism and how it's affected both the colonized and the colonizer as well.
Yeah.
So it's a really strong remit to discourse that this exhibition.
So, exactly. So it's the fact that, you know, this kind of exhibition and the fact that we're talking about diasporas and their impact, it not only kind of helps us who are part of the diaspora, but also kind of gives new ways of thinking to everybody, including the locals
or the global. Absolutely. Great stuff. Yeah.
That's good stuff. And is there anything else you'd like to add? Unfortunately, Patrick wasn't able to come, but I'm looking forward to the fact that, you know, there's never been a kind of collaboration between South Asians, especially Indians and Ghanaians, and I think this is one of the few shows which has both of you know, the cultures kind of coming together.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the show is really going to reflect and really start to engage this idea of this lost link or this lost connection that we have, because, you know, countries like our countries, India and Ghana, we have a shared history, a shared colonial history that we have.
Yeah.
Both countries are still very much still influenced by legacies of colonialism. And this is really a very strong sort of, you know, theme that we need to really, you know, highlight. And this is something that I think we need to really try and aim to repair. I mean, there are, you know, communities that live side by side. Asian and African communities live side by side. But, you know, in terms of artistic practice, there's not really much going on in terms of collaborations in post-colonial, countries, countries that have been affected by colonialism.
Yeah.
And how are artists that, you know, can start this discussion. So we this is like, you know, a new sort of, you know, initiative, but it's also quite old because the history is there. We're just trying to use artistic practices to sort of, you know, reflect and engage in these questions.
Yeah. So this particular episode will be embedded in the gallery website. It will be available on our Instagrams and on our websites also, and also on Apple Podcasts. And amazing talking to you as always.
Thank you very much, Divya. And it's a pleasure being here and being part of this podcast. And yeah, thank you very much.